top of the morning to you. My name is David Arrington, bringing you reviews from a Christian geek worldview. This is the Helix Reviews podcast celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about Captain Marvel and the Umbrella Academy, two comic book-based shows and movies here. And for the St. Patrick's Day celebration part of the episode, I'm just going to be talking about random Irish things that I like because, hey, it's about celebrating Ireland, actually. No, it's about celebrating St. Patrick, who is like a dude that like got kidnapped over to Ireland, and then when he like escaped, he became a priest afterwards or something. I don't know. I don't know too much about the story of St. Patrick's, but hey, St. Patrick's Day, you gotta be wearing green, unless, I guess, you're a Lutheran, in which case you dress in orange or something. I don't know. All I know is you're supposed to be dressing in green. So I dressed in green for church today. So I think that makes me okay. So random Irish things here. Let's start off with a movie, The Boondock Saints. This is a cult classic. It's made the lead actors, or at least the lead characters, are Irish. And but I think it actually takes place in America, though. But anyway, this is like a kind of a popular film to watch around St. Patrick's Day, at least among the kind of cult following that this film has, and its sequel, which I've actually never seen, All Saints Day. But I thought this movie was fun. I think it's not great. It's not all that well made. It's made by a first-time director. This is the first time he really did much of anything in the movie industry, is from what I understand. But he actually, for that, I think he did a really good job, but, you know, overall, it's kind of messy, it's not that great, it's not written all that great, and some stuff like that, but, I mean, really, just the charisma of these two lead actors is kind of what carries the film, and just kind of a fun sense of style throughout the film that I do enjoy. Thematically, it's pretty ridiculous about, like, supposedly God ordained these two people to go at and, like, murder all the bad guys, so it's like, you know, the Punisher only God ordained, supposedly, which is pretty stupid, but there you go. That's the premise of the movie. Anyway, it's fun. It's kind of stupid, but overall, I do enjoy it, but, you know, not great. It's right there somewhere in the middle of the upper half of the middle, so there you go. All right, so let's talk about the Umbrella Academy first, because I want to dive into spoilers for Captain Marvel. So first, let's dive into the spoiler-free review here of Umbrella Academy.
In October 1989, 43 women around the world gave birth. None of these women had been pregnant when the day first began.
How much do you want for it?
I have adopted 6 children. Gifted with abilities far beyond the ordinary. I give you the Umbrella Academy.
The Umbrella Academy is about a bunch of kids that were all born on the same day, but their mothers weren't pregnant the day before, so it's just like, bam, now they're born. What? That's weird. One guy goes, tries to adopt as many as possible. It turns out they have superpowers. Now they're all grown up. They've all split apart, but with the death of their father, they're all coming back together again, and the world might possibly be coming to an end also, so there's that. So, The Umbrella Academy is a comic book series that I've never read. I remember when it started coming out, and I thought, oh, that seems kind of interesting, but I never read any of it, and so this is really my first exposure to The Umbrella Academy, and this exposure makes me want to go and check out the comic books. I've heard there's television companies that are working on like an American version of Misfits, the British superhero television series, but I mean, really, there's no need, because this is the American version of the Misfits. You even have one of the same actors from Misfits coming over here to the Umbrella Academy. This is very much falls in that same style of quirky, weird, sometimes dark, comedic kind of superhero, offbeat superhero television that I really, really enjoy. Now, the Umbrella Academy is a little bit more serious, I'd say, than the Misfits, but it's still really funny. It's still very comedic, and it actually balances that really well. I think it balances the story, the characters, and like some of these like themes and real kind of thoughtful kind of stuff with this great sense of just lighthearted fun. This show is incredibly fun. That balance is something that is hard to pull off, and they just do it so well. The comedy and the laughs and everything never gets in the way of all the serious storytelling that's going on, but at the same time, it's full of it. It's like, it's very fun, it's very kind of lighthearted, but also you like these characters, you feel for these characters, and you're very, you know, looking forward to see where all this story is gonna go. And like, conceptually, there is some amazing concepts in here that I just love, that I had no idea were in here going in. And then they're like, hey, no, this whole thing, this is a thing, and now this is happening here. And it's like, whoa, I had no idea that was gonna be a thing in this series, but it is. And there's multiple of those that pop up throughout the series, and they're all just blended right into this story really well. It's so good, so cool. Though this is a show that really just kind of thrives on its characters, like who these characters are and how they interact with each other. Like, this is a very character focused series. It'll live and die on whether you like these characters, which, I mean, that's my favorite kind of series, you know, the series that's really all about the characters above pretty much anything else. So let's get into those characters. So I mentioned him before. Robert Sheehan plays Claus. This guy played Nathan in The Misfits. He plays Claus, and I mean, he is pretty much playing the same character he did in Misfits, but instead of immortality, which was his power there, he sees ghosts in this one. So that's his power in the Umbrella Academy. But they really do, they bring a lot more depth to him than they did in Misfits. They bring a lot of depth to him and some real, like, kind of hard-hitting stuff that he goes through, and they made him a lot more relatable than anything I've seen this guy in before. They really did do a lot with this character, and Robert Sheehan did a great job with this character. Justin Min is Ben, who's the main ghost that Claus talks to and that Claus sees, and he's also great in this. Like, he pops up, and a lot of what he's doing there kind of builds up and shows who Claus is, but he also has his own kind of separate character that has his own little arc, which is very cool, and I really want to see more of what they're going to bring with him in the future, because I liked kind of what they did with Ben here. Very cool. Ellen Page plays Vanya, who's kind of the outcast of the family. She doesn't have any powers, and so because of that, she was largely ignored by her father and really most of the family. And Ellen Page does a fantastic job at bringing to life this shy, insecure young woman who's like full of doubts and sadness because of this, you know, terrible upbringing. But I mean, then where her story arc goes from there is fantastic. I loved it. They definitely take her into some interesting directions, and I really liked it. Tom Hooper plays Luther. Now, he's the strong man character, you know, big, strong. He's huge. He's huge. Like, unnaturally big, which is kind of cool. I really, really liked his character. His character, he's like a little naive to the world and everything, and there's a reason for that. But he's one of like the only ones in this series really who's like truly heroic and noble and like really striving to be the superhero that his father wanted him to be, and that just to be a superhero in general, I suppose. But he's one of the good guys, which I like, and he's a really good character. Emma Lambton plays Allison. She's like a movie star, and she has like Purple Man-esque mind control powers, which is crazy. But she's like trying not to use them now because they were like ruining her life before, and she's also a great character. Her, really kind of above anyone else, really seems to want to reconnect with the rest of her family. I also really love her dynamic with Vanya. That's really good. Ellen Page's character. I think their dynamic is really good. And also she has a love interest in this series that I really liked that dynamic as well. David Costanda is Diego, and he's like the Batman-esque character with like Bullseye kind of powers. I mean, Bullseye, I don't think technically has powers. He has powers that's basically like Bullseye. He can throw stuff and hit stuff all the time, that kind of thing. And honestly, he was the character when I first saw him, I was going, okay, am I gonna, you know, is this just kind of a lame ripoff of Batman? Because it almost is what it seemed like, you know? It's like, almost like in The Tick when they have Overkill and they have that guy who's like Batman, only he kills everybody. And it's kind of a riff off of that kind of character. That's almost what this seemed like. And I was like, oh, okay, is that just all this guy's going to be? But no, they brought a lot more depth to him, a lot more interesting stuff to his character that I really enjoyed. Then you have Aidan Gallagher playing number 5. Now, he's younger than everybody else because through a series of events, he is stuck in his younger body. His older self is stuck in his younger body, and that creates some great comedic bits, but actually some kind of interesting dramatic bits as well that I really liked. Number 5, all the characters have a number. That's pretty much what their father named them, just 1 through 7 right there. So, you know, all the characters have a number, and he probably has a name, but I know him, and most people call him number 5. So, number 5, great character, and that actor, like, that did a fantastic job portraying this older character, because he's like a young kid that's kind of portraying a lot older of a character than himself, and he does a fantastic job at that. There's a CGI monkey character in here named Pogo that is never explained. I don't know why there's a monkey that talks and is like, you know, like, I don't understand why that exists exactly here. I assume it was some crazy experiment or something, but that's never explained, just so you know. Adam Goodley plays him, and actually liked his character, because it's the kind of thing where if you're gonna have a talking animal character in just a live action movie, it's the kind of thing, all right, you gotta convince me that I'm gonna be okay with this. You gotta convince me that this is fine, or this is cool. And like Rocket Raccoon did it, and you know, you know what, they more or less convinced me. I mean, I don't know why he had to be an ape as opposed to just maybe an old guy or something, but I did enjoy his character. He's kind of a little bit more fatherly of a character, since their actual father was so terrible. So he's maybe their more fatherly kind of character that actually seemed to love them, you know. So he was interesting. He was interesting. Calm 4 plays Sir Reginald Hargraves, which is their father. And he is a horrible person. He is so terrible to these kids. He verbally abuses them, and sometimes maybe physically abuses them. So there's that. But a very interesting character, and I don't know. I'm curious to see if they're gonna like show more flashbacks with him, or what all is gonna happen if we're gonna see more with this character, because it's his death that brings all them together. That's the thing that ignites the beginning of this series, but He's a fascinating character, to say the least. I'm really curious to see more about him, discover more about him, because it seems like there's so much more to tell with this character. We've only barely got a glimpse with him. And then you have these two hitman characters called Cha-Cha and Hazel. So Cha-Cha is played by Mary Blig, and Hazel is played by Cameron Britton. Their story kind of weaves in and out of our hero's story, but their story is very much their own kind of story. You know, it's like, yes, it's definitely there to kind of prop up the main story going on, but their side story, I think, was very cool. I thought it was very interesting, this story that they told with these. They're very fascinating characters, not at all who you would expect them to be, being, you know, hitman characters, and their dynamic with each other is great, but then their relationship really evolves as the series goes on, and I I guess I liked where it went. It went in places I didn't really see it going, and I thought that was pretty cool. I loved the way that this series revealed the story and the plot and what everything was going on. Because it starts off and it's like, you know, everybody's coming together after a long time. And, you know, there's nothing really that's going to keep them together. And then bang, okay, wait. So supposedly the end of the world is coming here. So it's like, okay, now there's kind of a reason for them to stick together. It's interesting because stuff slowly gets revealed throughout the series. It's like, oh, this is the reason that he's here, or this is what he's been doing all this time, which explains this whole big thing. And as everything is slowly revealed to you, it's really kind of perfectly done where it's like it's revealed and you go, oh, okay, that makes sense. That fits in here. And then you kind of see how that storyline works with that character. You go over to a different character. You see how he kind of fits in to all this and how they're all meshing together. It's really well done. It's really cool. And I loved where this story went. I loved how this season wrapped up. There was a few things I will say that I predicted like fairly early on in the season. I'm like, okay, this is gonna happen, and that's how it's kind of gonna wrap up in a certain way. I didn't know how it was gonna wrap up per se, but I knew certain things that were definitely gonna happen at the end, and they happened. You know, they maybe it was a bit more predictable than it needed to be, but even when they were happening, I was like, this is awesome. I love this because the way they were happening was so great and so perfect. The actors selling it, the characters like driving you to that point and really getting you emotionally involved up to that point, that even though I did predict these few things that happened, major things that happened near the end, it was fine because I loved the way they told the story and I loved how they all brought it up to that conclusion. I loved how this season wrapped up. They perfectly wrapped up everything, you know, that kind of needed to be wrapped up, but then they also left a lot of room for season 2 and beyond. It's just fantastic, fantastic storytelling, great characters. The way all these characters and actors mesh together is fantastic. Their dynamics off of each other is fantastic. The themes of family, of saving, you know, many over the few or few over the many are very interesting, and there's just a lot of cool, interesting stuff going on here. I absolutely loved this first season, and I cannot wait for the next one. This series left me so excited after I finished it last night. I finished it last night and I was like, man, I cannot go to sleep now because I am so excited after finishing this because it was so good. It was so good. And it leaves me immediately wanting to watch more. It leaves me wanting to rewatch what's there. I just absolutely loved The Umbrella Academy season 1.
This is, see, nothing's changed.
I jumped forward and got stuck in the future. Do you know what I found? Absolutely nothing.
When's it supposed to happen?
In 8 days.
The ground.
There is someone out there who's trying to stop me from preventing the apocalypse.
We need the full force of the Academy.
Bingo.
Hey, sisters. Yay, sisters.
The Umbrella Academy is rated TV-14. It doesn't say what for, but I'd say it's for some language, violence, and for probably some crude humor and things like that, too. I would give The Umbrella Academy a 4.5 out of 5 stars on the enjoyability scale.
Get up, we're going.
Where?
Save the world.
Oh, is that all?
It's time for another random Irish thing. Yay! Let's go with another movie here. A Dark Song. This is an Irish movie about two people that are in the same house together because they are going to do a spell. Like, one guy is like a warlock or something, and he's gonna make up this spell for this lady because this lady wants to get revenge against somebody. So she wants him to work up the spell. She's gonna, like, talk to the demon or whatever that comes out of this spell, and then somehow through that she's gonna get revenge on who she wants to get revenge on. And it's a very interesting movie because it's just two people in a house together for months, because this spell is like what takes a long time, and you gotta do these things over and over and all this kind of whatever nonsense kind of stuff. And so it's really based on these two characters and kind of that dynamic. It's a very slow burn kind of movie, and it's well done for the most part. It can be creepy, it can be intense, and it can also be slow, maybe to the point of boredom a little bit at points. So it's interesting. I enjoyed the ending. The ending is very different. It's not at all what I expected, but that twist for the ending, I thought was pretty cool, because it took what I thought was going to kind of be a negative message they were building up to and kind of twisted it to actually end up being a kind of positive message at the end. There, I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. I didn't expect that. I didn't see that coming. But overall, this was a very interesting movie. Not the most amazing movie in the world, but definitely worth a watch if you like these smaller, weird, kind of independent movies that I like. So, A Dark Song, if that sounds like it's the movie for you. Okay, so now let's move on to Captain Marvel.
Is a universal language. I know a renegade soldier when I see one. Never occurred to me that one might come from above. Space invasion, big car chase. Truth be told, I was ready to hang it up till I met you today.
Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel is a member of the elite Kree Star Force military that, after she crash lands on Earth away from all her comrades, she discovers that Earth is being invaded by Skrulls, a shape-shifting type of alien. And after meeting up with Nick Fury, she begins to discover that, hey, maybe not everything from my past is as it seems. And then she goes on to become a bigger, better, cooler superhero. All right, so Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel is a character that I'm not hugely familiar with in the comics. She's a character that I mostly have just read her when she's been in, like, Avengers comics, so she's been with a bunch of other people. I have read a few solo Captain Marvel comics, but largely I have fairly little experience with Captain Marvel as a character. And, I mean, this Captain Marvel is kind of a newer version of Captain Marvel anyway. I looked it up before I watched the movie, and I think it came out in 2012 is when this version of Captain Marvel came to be. Before, it was you know, Marvel, the male version of Captain Marvel. But this time, we got Brie Larson playing Captain Marvel. I like Brie Larson. She was in Room, and which she was fantastic in. She was in Free Fire, which I think she was good in that too. But I gotta say, I'm kind of mixed on Brie Larson in this movie. It's, okay, so what's kind of going on here is the same thing with the first Doctor Strange movie in my mind. I like Benedict Cumberbatch as an actor a lot. I like Brie Larson as an actress. So, you know, it's like, okay, I like these people, but their take on their character in this initial movie is a little bit more bland than I think that actor could do. This actor, Brie Larson, I think could do a fantastic job as Captain Marvel, and ultimately, I think she did a suitable job as Captain Marvel. There was times where I enjoyed her, there where she had some, you know, charisma, and, you know, she was, you know, doing whatever, then it was cool, it was fun, I liked her. And then there was other times where I thought she just kind of fell flat, and there just wasn't a lot going on with her as far as the acting goes, which is disappointing, because again, I do know Brie Larson can be a fantastic actress. I think maybe she just underplayed it a little bit too much here. And much like the first Doctor Strange movie, again, after watching Doctor Strange, I was like, okay, I think Benedict Cumberbatch could be a fantastic Doctor Strange. So far here, he's not. And I've liked him better in, you know, like in Infinity War, I liked him better than I did in his own movie. And I think I see that potential here for Brie Larson as Captain Marvel. I definitely think she could grow into this role, and I could like her a lot more than I do. And so when Captain Marvel 2 comes around, or when Avengers Endgame comes around, then I'll like her more, hopefully, there than I did here. Because again, it was a little bit disappointing because she didn't nail the role as much as I was hoping that she would. Samuel L. Jackson is in this movie. He steals the show. He is the best part of this movie. He is fantastic. Nick Fury, awesome. I love the character of Nick Fury. I love Samuel L. Jackson. And, you know, he is a character that definitely grew into the, he's an actor that definitely grew into this character. And I loved that this was a younger version of Nick Fury. It's a version of Nick Fury that we've never seen. It's still definitely that character, which, I mean, that character is kind of a variation on just Samuel L. Jackson, so yeah, there you go. But it's definitely that character, but it's definitely a younger, kind of more trusting version of that character. Like, this version of Nick Fury does things that the older version of Nick Fury would not do. And that was kind of fun to see. It was kind of fun to see a younger version of him and how he's going to grow into who he is when you see him in, you know, in the Avengers. Or in, I guess he showed up first in Iron Man. There is a lot of returning characters in this movie. I mean, apart from Samuel L. Jackson here, there's Ronan the Accuser shows up for a little bit here, and I mean, really, it's nothing more than a glorified cameo. I do wish we got maybe a little bit more with him, but we didn't, so it's fine. But it was cool to see him there in the movie. Dimijan Hansu, if that's how you pronounce his name, returns as Korath. He's the guy that's like, who? In Guardians of the Galaxy. And you don't get a ton with him, but what you do get with him, I really enjoyed that as well. And also, Agent Coulson's back! Yes, he's finally back in the movies. I mean, it's a prequel, technically, so it takes place, you know, before he died in the Avengers and then, you know, came back in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that. But still, it's awesome to see Clark Gregg back as Agent Coulson on the big screen. I do wish we got a little bit more of him, just because he's a character that's like, oh, yes, he's back, but he's only back fairly briefly, but it was cool to see him back, and yeah, it was cool. Now, the Skrulls, the big bad guys here, okay. I really liked Ben Mendelsohn as the main Skrull, Talos. I thought he did a fantastic job at bringing, you know, some menace to that character, but also some, maybe a little bit of humanity to that character as well. Ben Mendelsohn's pretty much good in whatever he's in, and there's no exception here. He's really good here. And the Skrulls, overall, I did enjoy. I think there was some directions they went with them that I would have liked if they went maybe a little bit differently, but overall, I did really enjoy the Skrulls. Their look and everything is very cool, very kind of real kind of looking, you know. It looks like they actually put the mask and everything on the humans instead of, you know, making it all CGI or anything like they potentially could have. They made it look a lot more real looking, which was kind of cool. It actually looks kind of Star Trek-y to me, the way that these aliens looked. And really, that's not the only thing that seemed Star Trek-y to me. This seemed like a Star Trek movie to me. I mean, it's like, obviously it's not, but it's it's majorly different, obviously. But a lot of the story elements seemed like things they would do in Star Trek. From what they do with the villains, both the makeup and then what they actually do with them, and what they do with some of the heroes and stuff, it felt like, you know, kind of old school science fiction, Star Trek-y kind of stuff, which is interesting. That's kind of cool. It's I guess it makes sense if that's the tone that they're kind of thing they're going for, since it's set back in the 90s. Is that when Star Trek was the most popular? Was the 90s or was it before that? I don't really know. I'm not a huge Star Trek fan apart from the Star Trek trilogy of new movies that we got here now. So that's my main experience with Star Trek, other than a few random other little episodes, which it reminded me kind of those few random other little episodes type Star Trek. The action was pretty good. It was decent, though it really wasn't exceptional. I think it was more suitably good instead of, like, awesome, you know? And I think it could have been cooler, but it was never bad. I was never like, oh, that was a bad action piece or anything. It was all good, fine, cool, fun, but it was never too amazing for me. I did like some of the visuals they had with some of the action, and the visuals when she was, like, glowing and everything, you see some of that in the trailer, was all very cool. I like how kind of psychedelic all this kind of stuff around her all looked. It was pretty cool. There is, however, some CGI in here that I thought was bad. There was, like, you know, it's not like there was, like, oh, there's just, yeah, maybe that didn't look the best. But for the most part, it looked really, really good. It's like, for a Marvel movie, there was a few moments of CGI that I was like, that looks bad. Like, straight up, not good at all. Which surprised me. Like, it's weird because typically, Marvel movies, I think, have really good CGI. I know some people complained, like, oh, Black Panther had, you know, some CGI that looked bad. That didn't even really bother me there. But then watching this movie, there was a couple moments where it was like, that CG just looks pretty bad, which surprised me. Again, it's weird that that was the case, but it was the case. So, okay, there you go. The plot, I'm kind of conflicted on this, because on one hand, I do like what they were going for, like, you know, she comes down to Earth, and then all this different stuff is revealed as you go through the movie, though I think that could have been better. I don't know. I guess to a certain extent, I already know Captain Marvel's backstory, you know, I know who she is, and her origin story and stuff, and so it's like, okay, I know the answer to these questions they're setting up in the first movie. I knew when I saw the trailers to the movie, but I don't know, it just seemed like the way they executed it, it was not surprising. It never seemed surprising to me. It was never like, oh, this is why. It was just like, yep, mm-hmm. And it was never, maybe it's because I knew Captain Marvel and everything, but I never felt surprised, or it always just seemed like, oh yeah, that's just kind of, it just kind of went that way because the story was supposed to go that way, not because it felt like that was the natural progression of the story, maybe. I thought the construction of the story was maybe not as well done as it could have been, because it never felt surprising like it seemed like they were trying to make it feel. There's kind of a big twist in there, one that surprised me, one that I was just like, well, yeah, I expected that from the very beginning, and it just didn't even remotely surprise me. I guess I'll get into that more in the spoiler section, so that way I won't say what it actually is, but there's that. I just think it could have been done a little better there. Her backstory is explained, and it's kind of shown in snippets, but honestly, I never felt the impact of what the backstory was trying to do. It was trying to get you to, you know, impact you and get you to feel some stuff, and it never really worked for me in this movie, unfortunately. This movie also kind of makes some contradictions with the rest of the MCU as far as a couple things goes, which I can get to in the spoiler section. Thematically, this, it's like, okay, I didn't do a separate little section with themes and stuff, mostly because, it's so annoying. This whole thing of everybody, like, yelling at each other, being like, no, women in movies, women superheroes, meh, feminism, meh, and it's just so annoying. I just don't want to talk about it. I guess I should, because it's a theme in the movie, and I believe it's important in the movie, even though it's not. I just really don't want to talk about it. So it's like just a kind of a big feminist theme, a big feminist kind of statement. It's just the whole, you know, strong, powerful woman, don't need no man kind of thing, and it's, you know, okay. And I mean, you know, women don't have to prove themselves to men, and I mean, yeah, not any more than men have to prove themselves to women, but I don't know if you're going to get married, maybe you need to a little bit or something. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's the kind of thing where it's all over this movie, but I didn't find it very compelling or interesting while watching it. And everybody's just screaming about it so much online that I just don't care. I do not care. And I don't want to talk about things in the podcast that I just do not care about. Okay, women don't need men. That's fine, as much as men don't need women, I guess. But, I mean, Genesis, like chapter 2, I think it is, says, hey, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. And I think that goes both ways. I don't think it's just men that's not good to be alone. It's women not good to be alone, too. And so, yes, it's good for people to be together. Apparently, the reason Captain Marvel doesn't smile more in this is because men is always telling her what to do. And that's not smile-worthy. Don't tell women what to do. And I like how that whole assumption just completely assumes that women never tell men what to do, and it's just like, okay, whatever, who cares? I don't care. I really just don't care. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's just move on. This movie, it just seems to be making like this big deal out of, you know, it's being a major superhero film with a female protagonist, a strong female kind of feminist message in there. But I mean, you're kind of late to the game, Marvel. DC did it already, and they did it better. They made a better movie than this with Wonder Woman, you know? So you're kind of late to the game, you're late to the punch. Sorry, Marvel, you shot this one out of the court, and it was, is that good, shooting it out of the court? What even reference is that? Tennis? Who cares? Anyway, DC did you better, so get over it, Marvel. Put her in the Avengers, give her another movie, it'll all be fine, and just chill out, everybody online. It's just ridiculous. All right, so overall, Captain Marvel, I enjoyed this movie, though honestly, I think it's one of the least of the Marvel movies overall. I really think they could step up their game. I think they could make a better Captain Marvel 2 that I would really like, and that and I think they could, she could integrate into the Avengers really well in a cool, fun way. Them saying that they're gonna set her up to be the leader of the Avengers or the leader of the MCU moving forward, that does not make me excited, because this first movie kind of disappointed me, frankly. Even though I enjoyed it, it's a Marvel movie. I expect more out of a Marvel movie, and I didn't get more out of a Marvel movie, and I'm disappointed about it. So the fact that they're setting her up to be a major player, you know, it's like, no, this is one of the worst movies in the MCU, so that does not excite me to make her the major player. If she becomes one and she's great, then great. You know, I want her to be a better character than I've seen her in this. I want the next movie to be a better movie than this, assuming she gets a sequel. All the Marvel movies get sequels, so she's gonna get one. It seems like this is doing well financially. So, you know, Captain Marvel 2, I'm gonna be looking forward to it. I'm gonna see it when it comes out, but I'm less excited about it because this is one of my least favorite Marvel movies out there, unfortunately. And that said, it's still fun. It's still a good time. If you're into Marvel movies, check this out. If you're into superheroes, check this out. It's a good, solid movie. It's just not up on par with most of the other Marvel movies.
So you're not from around here?
It's hard to explain. I keep having these memories. I see flashes. I think I had a life here. But I can't tell if it's real.
Captain Marvel is rated PG-13 for sequences of sci-fi violence and action and brief, suggestive language. I would give it a 3.5 out of 5 stars on the enjoyability scale.
We have no idea what threats are out there. We can't do this alone. We need you.
I'm not what you think I am.
The Helix Reviews podcast is a proud member of the Christian Geek Central Network, a hub of all kinds of cool Christian geeky stuff from around the web, all funneled to ChristianGeekCentral.com. Check it out. Okay, spoiler talk for Captain Marvel from here on out. Spoiler warning, if you have not seen it, don't listen further. Blah, 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 blah. All right, let's move on. Here we go. Okay, so let's start off with the Stan Lee cameo. Why not? It's not one of his best cameos. It's basically she pulls down a little paper, and he's there when she's looking on the train, and he smiles at her, and that's that. It was kind of funny. It was like, oh, okay, nice, Stan Lee. I'm glad he's in this movie, because, you know, he passed away, and it's good to kind of see him in these last few movies that he has. I think he has a cameo in Endgame as well, though I'm not entirely sure. I think that's the last cameo he filmed was in Endgame, if I'm not mistaken. So there you go. And it was all right, it was fine, but it was kind of good to see him again, right? One thing I did want to say is, why is this a Captain Marvel movie as opposed to a Ms. Marvel movie? Nobody ever calls her Captain Marvel. There is really no Captain Marvel in this movie. Mar-Vell is just some lady who was on Earth. Like, if you're a fan of Mar-Vell in the comics, well, they probably pretty much screwed him up here, because this was just some random lady on Earth working as a scientist. It was like, you know, this big, powerful character, and then, you know, you just got this, you know, random scientist lady on Earth, who was fine. I mean, she was a fine character, but it's not like it's not like anything even remotely close to the comics. So it was just a little bit weird. So I mean, they pretty much removed anything that has to do with her being Captain Marvel. So, you know, this could have been a Ms. Marvel movie and it would have changed literally nothing. I guess she's the captain of her airplane, so she's a captain, Captain Marvel, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, doesn't matter all that much to me, but you know, it's just something I noticed that they never called her out, they never did anything. It was just like, oh, okay, well, that's kind of interesting. So, okay, the mystery about her origin, it seemed completely obvious to me that she was human right from the get-go. It seemed obvious to me that she was human from the trailers, honestly. Was that supposed to be obvious? It seemed like they were trying to set it up like, oh, she's a Kree, right? And she's even got, like, blue blood or whatever coming out of her nose in that one scene. And it's like, okay, you know, but then it's like revealed, oh, she's human, she had a life hair and all this stuff. It just seemed so obvious to me. It just seemed like there was nothing surprising about that at all. The surprise that Jude Law is the villain, I guess I didn't talk about Jude Law, he's pretty good in this too, but the surprise that Jude Law is the villain, I predicted that from the trailers too, honestly. I watched the trailers and I'm like, oh, he's gonna be the villain, isn't he? I don't even know this character in the comics, but I was like, you know, so if he's a villain in the comics, I don't know, because I'm not a huge Captain Marvel fan, so it's like, I don't know a lot of these characters, so, you know, that didn't spoil it for me. I just kind of figured it from the trailer, and I was absolutely right, and it was just like, it was not surprising even remotely, and I feel like it should have been. The thing that did surprise me in this movie is the Tesseract showing up, and that's in, like, some space station with a bunch of Skrulls and everything. That was weird. I do not exactly understand how that fits into the timeline with the Tesseract and everything, because the Tesseract, it was discovered by Howard Stark in the ocean when they were searching for Captain America. They discover the Tesseract, they take it back, he had that, or S.H.I.E.L.D. had that, or something, and then somehow it gets up to the spaceship, and then before the Avengers happens, you know, Captain Marvel gives it to Nick Fury, and then it's back in S.H.I.E.L.D.'s hands, I guess. It's just kind of a weird thing where, like, it's over here, now it's over here, now it's just kind of, it's not a contradiction, I guess, but it's just kind of this weird timeline with the Tesseract where it's like, why? I don't know, it's just kind of weird that it went there, it came back, it went there, you know, it's just kind of a weird thing that happened there. It does make her origin a little bit more interesting, I guess, that the Tesseract is something that kind of gave her powers, I guess, maybe. This is something I meant to mention during the review, but they do not explain her powers well in this movie at all. Why did she absorb the powers? It was never really explained why she absorbed all these powers. Is that her powers? that she absorbs powers and then shoots them out, like Bishop in the X-Men? Or is she just super powerful and she can shoot out laser beams and stuff because she got exploded with the Tesseract juice in a battery or whatever? you know, like, I don't know why she has powers. I don't know if it was the explosion that gave her powers. In the comics, isn't it Mar-Vell, like, his powers kind of shoots out of him and into her in an explosion somehow? Isn't that kind of how that happens? I think that's how that happens, but I'm not 100% sure. I've never actually read the origin of Captain Marvel in the comics. But for as powerful as the Tesseract is, they just, like, throw it around and everything like it's nothing. It's kind of weird. And then the cat eats it. Okay, the cat. So you know something's going on with the cat. You know the cat's gonna be like an alien or something weird's going on with the cat, because the Skrulls are like, ah, it's a cat. It's not a cat. It's a blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, whatever. And they're like, you know, it's just a cat. You know, come on, man. But so you know something's going on with the cat. Then these tentacles come out and grab the Tesseract. You're like, whoa, okay, it's some kind of alien thing. And then the tentacles come out and they're like bigger than the cat. They're as long as the hallway. It's like when Groot shot his arms out and was smacking people around, only with a cat. And it's like, okay, maybe you're pushing the laws of slapstick humor in a serious movie a bit too far here. I don't know. It was just, I don't know. It seemed a little goofy in a movie that was otherwise pretty serious. And it's like, The fact, I don't know, I guess it's like Doctor Who's spaceship where it's bigger inside the cat than on the outside. I don't know. All right, so I have a question about the Kree. Are all Kree blue? Because generally speaking, most all Kree are blue. Everybody on the team is blue, except for Dimension Hansu, who I don't think is Kree. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy working under Ronan, the Accuser, but I don't think he was ever Kree. I don't think that character is Kree. But the only characters that are supposedly are Kree but aren't blue is Captain Marvel, which it's revealed, okay, she's human, so not Kree, and then Jude Law's character, which that's never really explained. It's like, why is he white and everybody else blue? It's like is he Kree? Is he not Kree and he just works with them, or he's an important official in their structure or whatever? I don't know. I don't have no idea. It's just kind of weird. Are all Kree blue? Are they not? I don't know. It's just, it's weird. All right. Now let's talk about the Kree's mortal enemies, the Skrulls. Okay. I really enjoyed the Skrulls for the most part, except, I don't know, I'm kind of conflicted on the whole twist of them being good guys, I guess. First of all, I mean, because in the comics, they're bad guys pretty much all the time, straight up just bad guys. But I don't know, I guess in the movie it seems like, you know, the twist happens, okay, the Skrulls, you know, aren't so bad, but I was waiting for the second twist, I guess, where it's like, nope, the Skrulls are really bad, and bam, you know, it's, he kills somebody or something, you know, crazy, and then the Skrulls actually are the bad guys. Nope, the Skrulls were just kind of, we're the good guys, actually, even though we still killed and murdered a whole bunch of people and did all these horrible things, it's because we were looking for our family. Oh, it makes everything okay now, right? Yeah, and it's just like, okay. They're still bad guys, but now we're helping them. Okay, it's fine. Need to, you know, send them off. You know, it's cool that Ben Mendelsohn found his family or whatever. But it's just kind of like, ugh, okay. I hope this means, that doesn't mean in the future of the MCU, Skrulls are always going to be good guys, you know? I hope if we see Ben Mendelsohn as a Skrull again, it'll be as a bad guy, you know? Let's do the Secret Invasion storyline. Like, legit do it. Because I've never read Secret Invasion, honestly, but it sounds awesome. And I think that would be such a cool movie, and that would be a great movie to bring Captain Marvel in on. I mean, she's coming in on the, you know, Thanos and all that, so okay. If we were somewhere else in the MCU timeline and the Secret Invasion storyline was happening and that Avengers movie was happening, we had this movie and then we had a Secret Invasion movie with Captain Marvel coming back to stop the Skrulls and all this stuff with the Avengers, that would be awesome. I would be so on board for that. But it's, you know, I don't know if every time we see the Skrulls in the future, are they going to be good guys? Are they going to be bad guys? I don't know at this point with that twist and everything. Again, I kind of wish they left them a little bit more evil, even if they're better or not as bad and he was just looking for his family. I wish they left maybe them seemingly a little bit more evil than they were, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, there's my thoughts with the Skrull. Only one other thing here with the Nick Fury and his eyeball getting scratched out by a cat. So, in Captain America Winter Soldier, he's like, the last time I trusted somebody, I lost an eye. And he also says, you gotta keep two eyes open, and all this kind of stuff, you know? And he flips up his eye patch, and there it is, scratched, eyeball is all disfigured, and... So the last person he trusted was a cat, and the cat scratched out his eye, and that's it? What? It's just stupid. It's lame, it's stupid, it's like, oh, a comedic bit, it'd be funny if it was on a YouTube clip and that's how he lost his eye, but this is like, now it's canon, this is how Nick Fury lost his eye, is some stupid cat scratched his eye and now it's gone. It's just, I don't know, it's lame, it's stupid, I wish they didn't do that. Even though, I mean, not everything can be huge and epic. I was thinking maybe this will be where the Skrull double crosses them. Oh, we're going to trust these Skrulls now. And it double crosses them, smashes out his eye and attacks Captain Marvel or something, you know, something. But just nothing, you know, it's this cat, stupid cat scratches out his eye and that's it. And it's just lame. They did this kind of big thing for the sake of a joke, and it's kind of lame. So, there you go. So there's my thoughts on Captain Marvel and the Umbrella Academy. What did you think of these? Shoot me an email, helixreviewspodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts on these. Do you agree with me? Do you disagree with me? Let me know. For Creator Spotlight, I mean, we got to do an Irish creator for St. Patrick's Day, I guess, right here. So pretty much the only Irish creator that I know is kind of gigantic and doesn't need a shout out exactly. But hey, you know what? Jacksepticeye is a cool Let's Player on YouTube. If you like Let's Plays where people scream and make jokes and stuff like that, well, he's pretty fun at that. So there you go. If you like Jacksepticeye, he's pretty fun. So check him out on YouTube. So that's it for this time. This is David Arrington. Oh, wait, next time up on the podcast, I should have a review of Resident Evil 2. I know I've been saying that for a while, but it's now in the can. I'm just going to try to get this episode out a little quicker, but Resident Evil 2 review coming very soon. So that's all for this time, guys. This is David Arrington of the Helix Reviews Podcast signing out. Bye-bye, guys. Happy St. Patrick's Day.